Good morning, Achan, Saranjon, and other people. Yeah, I have a question. Can you explain Pancha Upadana Khanda, please, for me? Thank you. Yes.
All dhammas and not self. So what subject we are talking about must be about right now. Not self, right? Because hardness cannot be self, seeing cannot be self, everything cannot be self. Because it is conditioned to arise and appears, and it doesn't seem that it has fallen away instantly as soon as it has arisen at all. This is why we learn to understand little by little. And Kun, yes, this is the beginning.
She went there to listen to the Vietnamese translation.
If there are any questions, please come.
The first point is Ajahn is stressing that whatever the topic, whether we're talking about khandas or we're talking about any other part of the teachings, it's about dhammas which are now. So the khandas are now. Is that clear? So it's about now. First of all, khanda. What is khanda? For example, like now, rupa khanda. What is rupa khanda? Can you give an example of rupa now? Visible object.
Yeah. But excuse me, I think that for the beginners too, no matter we start to talk about, we are talking about Dhamma, not like we used to think or take for something in some people. And many, many new words from the book. But that should be the beginning of understanding clearly from the very beginning. So now whatever appears is real, right? In Pali term, the Buddha's word is Dhamma. No doubt about Dhamma. But Dhamma is so many, many numerous reality arising and falling away in split seconds. That's why Buddha showed us how to understand them little by little from the very beginning. So now, what appears has arisen, right? Concern, yeah, it's real. Whatever appears has to arise. Otherwise, it cannot appear, right? So now, what appears now is conditioned. No one can make it arise at all. Without the eye sense, that will never be seeing. So remember that everything which is real is Dhamma. We might take it for cakes, tables, and on. But actually, without the reality which appear, no one can say whether this is cup or that. So there must be the characteristic of each doorway, like seeing sees, hearing cannot see, but hearing hears. So now, everything which appears is conditioned, so it arises to be seen or heard. That is the meaning of khanda. Because so many reality. So only that which does not appear because it's not conditioned is Nibbana. So whatever appears in life must be that which is real, which is conditioned. So it arises and falls away in split seconds. This is not known. What we see now is like permanent. People and things all around us. But each one in split seconds arising and falling away, each different one. But when they come together, it forms a nut shape. Just one cannot know that that is cup. Just one rupa. But when they come together, then it appears as sign or nimitta. So this is a sign of reality. Sign, sign, sign. All are realities. They have to arise, otherwise they cannot be experienced, and that is khanda. So khanda is so many, many different realities. This is khanda, this is khanda, that is khanda, everything is khanda. But
there are two kinds of realities. If there is that reality which cannot experience anything at all, the world cannot appear. Nothing can appear. If there is only the reality which arises but cannot experience anything. Is that right? Any question? Is this Kanda? See? Is this Kanda? Everything which is conditioned to arise, no matter who knows or not, before the enlightenment of the Buddha, the world is so very, very dark because no one can understand the truth of whatever is there. Right now, who knows the truth? Who knows the truth? But from his great compassion, no one knows about the truth of whatever appears. He had developed his parami. What is parami?
Perfection.
Yes, we know the word perfection. But ignorance and all akusala cannot understand reality at all. Because we take it without understanding that what is seen has gone as something permanent all the time. So it's quite very, very difficult for anyone because we think of cakes and table, not that which just appear at moment of seeing. So several khandhas all the time, from time to time, from eons and eons ago, no one knew about that. Until a Buddha, no matter at what time, has become enlightened the truth. And out of his compassion for this one, he taught us for 45 years with each word, which is so very deep. It takes considering and have confidence of the truth from the first word on and on and on for 45 years just to develop the understanding, because ignorance cannot understand at all. But that which begin to hear and consider conditioned right understanding, which is not self. So what is right understanding? What is right understanding? Pardon?
Right understanding.
What is?
What is right understanding? What about is? What?
Who are you? What are you?
We had many experience in the past.
Listen to the question.
Yeah.
Because you see that when a question is asked, people think about their own thoughts. So they answer not to the question at all.
Yeah.
So even in Thailand or everywhere, they just have their own understanding. So to understand from the very beginning, to be firm confidence on the truth, each question should be heard and just answer to that question. Who are you? What are you?
Dharma.
Okay. Good. Is it Kanda?
Yes, it's Kanda.
Why?
Because it's not permanent.
Yes. And what? And what more?
It's rise and fall away.
And what more?
And this is condition.
Right.
But
without condition, nothing can arise at all. So each, not the whole, each very, very tiny, unseen, must be conditioned. Can you experience that?
No, not yet.
Why not yet? Okay, so what can experience?
What can experience?
What can experience that?
What can experience?
You cannot. So what can?
Citta.
Okay, and only citta itself?
Citta and citta-sika.
What kind of citta-sika?
another citta, raguish citta.
What kind of cetasika? See, carefully listen.
You're talking about, you said that you can't experience that yet, the rising and falling. What kind of cetasika can experience rising and falling?
I don't know.
What kind of cetasika can know the truth about anything? What kind of cetasika can know the truth about seeing, or the truth about the arising and falling away of seeing?
Seeing consciousness.
Seeing only sees what is visible. What kind of cetasika can know the truth? What kind of
memory?
Memory just remembers at each moment. What kind of cetasika can know that seeing
panya.
Now, seeing doesn't last? Only panya can know, not I can know, I can't know. Only panya can know, and ignorance can't know.
No.
Why not?
It's only seeing, hearing.
Is there no citta without cetasika? Can cetasika arise alone?
No.
So there must be citta.
Yeah.
Experience the same object.
Yeah.
But the function of citta is not the function of cetasika.
Yeah.
This is the difference. Does citta arise?
Yeah.
Does it fall away?
No.
Does it fall away?
Yeah. Sorry.
The rice.
No one.
Who make it falls away?
No one.
So, what is that condition?
Condition the past?
Think. What condition citta to arise?
For example, seeing now, seeing consciousness now, what condition seeing to arise?
Eye sense and
eye sense,
visible object.
Visible object. Anything else?
So many things.
Like?
The light.
Okay, and what else?
And good vision.
And what kind of consciousness is seeing? It's not, yesterday you said it's not kusala, it's not akusala. What is seeing?
Vipaka.
Vipaka. So what conditions vipaka? What is the cause of result? So vipaka is result.
Yeah.
What is the cause of result cheetahs? Vipaka cheetahs to arise?
I don't know.
What about the very first moment of life? The very first moment of life as a human here? What was the cause of birth? Who said? Someone said?
Karma, yes.
Oh.
So, karma is the cause of vipaka. So, karma is a cause of seeing.
Yeah.
So, many different causes. Another cause is, in order for seeing to arise, there must be a citta arising before seeing. Yesterday we said there must be the first citta in the idle process in order for seeing to arise. So, there must always be a citta that has fallen away before the present citta arises. So many conditions.
Okay.
One more condition.
You have said.
Yeah, I sense. One more condition for seeing. Anja.
Come back to kindergarten. Let's.
condition for Manya to rise, listen to do good deeds.
Didn't talk about good deeds.
Listen to Dhamma.
Okay, but that is Panya when there's understanding. But what condition Panya to arise?
Karma.
Yeah, that's. I didn't say about karma yet. Who knows? Maybe I haven't heard. Yeah. One forgets the faculty of experiencing. Without that, any jetasika cannot arise at all. So citta condition panya jetasika as it is the faculty of experiencing. That's why we go further far from the point about just one question at a time. We are talking about realities, or another word in Pali, Dhamma. So from now on, who sit close to you? And what is there?
No one.
Close to you?
Close to me.
Who? Who is there?
No one.
Good, good. But what's there when there's no one at all?
Dhamma.
What's that? What kind of Dhamma?
Citta and citta-sika.
What is seeing?
What is seeing? Seeing consciousness.
Pardon?
Visible object.
Visible object. What sees it?
What seeing see?
What sees visible object?
Seeing consciousness.
Okay. So there must be that which can experience an object. Right? If there is no reality which can experience anything, the world cannot appear. Only hardness and things on by temperature, but no one experiences it at all. So that which arises by conditioned but cannot experience anything, it's what Buddha called rupa. So all are dhammas, but that which cannot experience is rupa. Is hardness dhamma?
No.
Hardness.
Hardness.
Is it Dhamma?
Yeah.
We have to think in order to have firm understanding, your own understanding from your own considering. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Confidence?
Yeah.
To be sure and to be confident. See? Okay. So there are, no matter in this world, anywhere, the universal, wherever, there must be only two different kinds of reality. One cannot experience anything at all, and that is called Rupa Dhamma. But if we study more, another word for Rupa, but leave it now, because this is just the beginning. So, please tell me, what is rupa now? Chong, please. Rupa. What is rupa now?
The hardness of the microphone.
And what else?
The air is cold.
Coldness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Room temperature.
Pardon? Room temperature. You have the idea of room and temperature. Is that Dhamma?
Yes.
Is that Dhamma? When you said room and temperature, right? Are they Dhamma?
Yes.
What kind of Dhamma? See, we mix reality and conventional idea. When we talk about the absolute realities, we begin to see that actually there's no people, no thing, no self. Otherwise, there must be always the idea that I all the time, at moment of seeing, hearing, thinking, from birth to death and on, because there's a light of the teaching of the Buddha yet. But from hearing the teachings of the Buddha, one knows that no matter you go somewhere, sit for a whole day, nothing is understood, because it's not from the word of the Buddha. This is why we have the teacher, the great one, only one. You might think that I'm your teacher or Sarah or Jodhatan, but actually all from Tipitaka, from the words of the Buddha. That's why each word should be very respected. Because so deep, isn't it? Is it not? Now nobody except Rupa Dhamma and that which experience each reality right now only. This can be directly experienced with greater and greater and higher panya, until one knows that is what Buddha has become enlightened, no more than that, no more than his great understanding. So we just begin to consider, like to plant the understanding. It depends on how it will grow or not. From thinking of one else's word, it cannot grow. To go to somewhere, listen to the other words, not understanding reality right now, the right understanding cannot grow, cannot develop at all. So having great confidence on the Buddha's word, one will keep away from others' word. And this is what we talked about yesterday, the Upanishya Kojra. Only all these words should be developed, cultivated, until it grow. You know? Is there any question, please?
I have no question now.
Okay, but I asked you to tell me some more about Rupa Dhamma, and it's not the refrigerator.
What?
The Rupa Dhamma.
Yes.
You may think about it as refrigerator, but what's the reality of it? There must be the absolute reality, which condition, shape and form, which you take it for a refrigerator. But the absolute truth cannot be changed.
Hardness. You mean the refrigerator?
You started by saying hardness,
yes.
Right? Of the microphone, right? Yes. Then you went on to say the air conditioning in the room. Mm. But what you mean is temperature experienced by the body, right? Coldness,
yes.
Felt that you experience.
The rupas experienced through the body sense. Hardness is experienced through the body sense. What else? Look can help. Look what is experienced through the body sense. Temperature. So hot or heat or cold.
Yes.
Heat or cold. No, heat or cold. Because no, when heat or cold is experienced, no air conditioner. That's only thinking afterwards.
Okay.
So heat or cold are rupas. Hardness or softness are rupas. Motion, when something is like vibrating, motion is a rupa. These are rupas that are experienced. But air conditioner, sofa, these are ideas.
This is a concept.
So when Ajahn talks about Dhamma, she means what is real, like the different realities. So is the difference between concept and reality, Dhamma, clear to you now?
Yes.
Is the refrigerator hard?
Yes.
Is the hardness refrigerator?
Sorry?
Is hardness refrigerator?
No.
No. Again, please. Is refrigerator hard?
Yes.
is hardness refrigerator?
No.
No. So what is hardness and what is refrigerator?
Hardness Europa and refrigeration is the concept.
Right. Right. This is the first from the very beginning to see that we live in the world of concept, not understanding anything at all. And when one tries to go to somewhere, it's I concept. Try to do what? All concept. No understanding of reality at all. Okay. Yeah. And the word for that which experience is nama, nama dhamma. So from just one word, dhamma, so many dhammas, all are dhammas, but there are different kinds. One is that which cannot experience at all, it's rupa. Is this right understanding?
Yes.
Yes, it's you? Is it you? Is it you? Right understanding is you or not?
Not me.
Not you. Not anyone at all. It just arises and falls away in split seconds. Never to return. No one can find it, cannot look for it in samsara at all, in any world at all. This is that Buddha has become enlightened, to have less and less attachment to the idea and concept of I and everything, which comes from ignorance, so it brings more and more attachment while there is ignorance, taking everything in life for just oneself from birth to death and then completely gone, like past life. Who can remember past life? But this life will be past life of next life. So if you go and ask someone, what have I done? Plus life and the life before. No one can tell. But now, you know. But it would be forgotten. So everything, any experience, is just to be forgotten. This is the way to have some understanding that will bring about, in the end, no one means nothing permanent. Because that degree of understanding can directly experience the arising and fall away of what we are saying from the words of the Buddha, not from anyone else at all. Yes, Kun Sao. Okay. You see, is this meditation?
Pardon?
Is now we are in meditation room?
Yeah, better there.
Yeah. See, so it's only word, no matter where, even here or on the street, there can be the understanding of the teachings. Why not a fixed place or time? Because they are all anatta. It has to begin from having confidence on the anatta-ness of everything. Otherwise, when it's something, it must be the object of attachment. I'd like to go there. I think I can have understanding there. See? All come from ignorance and attachment. So there are two kinds of realities now. Everyone knows. That which arises is conditioned to be one of the two. Rupa cannot experience anything at all. The world cannot appear because there's not the reality which can experience it. So seeing is the moment of experiencing what is seen by conditioned. Without the eye, there cannot be seeing. So what is the eye? The eye. What is the eye? Would you like to say something? From the very beginning, from the very beginning, so that you will not forget, what is the I? A Dhamma. See, start from Dhamma. Please. the eye is a concept.
Is there any reality which can condition the eye seeing? Okay, we are talking about the eye.
Yeah.
And it's a Dhamma because it's real. What is seen?
It's reality.
It's not the eye.
It's not the eye.
At all.
But it's...
We become to understand deeper. What is seen is not the eye, right?
Yes.
Because the eye cannot see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there must be the eye and that which is seen. But both cannot experience anything. The eye cannot see, and that which is seen cannot be seen. Cannot. That which is seen is not that which is experienced, because it's seen, right?
Yeah.
Now. So that which is seen is not the eye. The eye is here,
yeah,
and that which is seen is there. What are they?
It's an object.
See, we just talk about one thing, one word at a time. That which can be seen.
Yeah.
It's real. It's Dhamma. Can it be anything else?
Nope.
Can it be a cake? Can that which is seen be a cake? This is the absolute reality. In order to, without this, there will never be the understanding of the Buddha's teachings at all. From just little thing in life, it will bring more and more and more and more understanding with more confidence. Now we just talk about the two things. One which is seen now, see? And the eye is not that which is seen.
Yes.
And that which is seen is not the eye. They are both Dhamma, different Dhammas.
Mm.
So one cannot be seen. One cannot be seen. What is that which cannot be seen?
Eye.
Right. The eye cannot be seen. And can that which is seen see?
Yes.
That which is seen, can it see? That which is seen now, can it see?
Can it see?
Can it see? Not seen. If we use the word, we will think about concept. But in order to understand the absolute reality, we forget about that.
It depends on the objects we see in. Because when I see object, the table, it cannot see.
Okay, you said the table is seen and things on. But we are talking about whether it can see. It can be seen, but it cannot see.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
So seeing is not that which is seen. And that which is seen is not seeing. Two things. What Dhamma is that which can be seen.
Can be seen?
Can be seen. What is that which is seen? What kind of Dhamma? There are two kinds. One cannot experience and the other cannot experience.
The second one.
The second one cannot experience. So it is Rupa.
Rupa.
There is not just one kind of Rupa. There are so many kinds of Rupa as well. Like sound, it can be heard, but it cannot hear.
Yeah.
So there are two different kinds. One cannot experience Rupa Dhamma, and that which experience is Nama. So there are two kinds, Nama and Rupa. Without Nama, the world cannot appear. No experience at all, no seeing, no hearing, no thinking.
Yeah.
So now there are how many kinds of Dhamma? In brief. Now, how many kinds of Dhamma in brief? Yes, please.
please. There are those ones that cannot experience the rupa. So this is one kind.
Oh, so we have two kinds.
Two, yeah.
Okay.
How many kinds of reality?
Reality?
Yes, right now. In brief, very brief.
So we have reality. We have
all our realities. We are talking of
So we have two kinds.
Two kinds.
Two kinds.
What are they?
Rupa and
nama.
Nama and rupa. Yes.
What does it mean? Anything in Vietnamese, nama? You know, I'm not good in language at all. I could recognize you, but I cannot recognize the name. Yeah. So, is there you? Are there you?
No.
What are they? Two words.
Nama and
nama. And rupa.
And rupa.
Can rupa experience?
No.
Can nama
yes.
be seen?
Yes.
Nama
can.
Nama.
Can nama be seen? Yes.
Again. There are two kinds. What are they?
Nama be seen?
Can it be seen? Can anyone see nama?
No. No.
See. So nama doesn't have any shape, no form, or anything to be experienced to any dog, to six, five, experience five senses at all. The eye can be up, can be conditioned for seeing, the ear for hearing, but not to experience the nama. So five senses cannot experience nama at all.
Yeah.
We just talk about what are there here, nama and rupa. Again, what is hearing?
Hearing?
Hearing.
It's nama.
Help her. It's not patient.
I say rupa.
Because why we talk about this, because to be sure, certain, never change at all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, with our different questions, you might think that you know or understand perfectly. But when it's asked, one knows with how much understanding is there. So what about smelling?
Smelling is rupa.
The smell is rupa?
Smelling.
The smell itself is rupa. It cannot experience. But the smelling, that which smells it.
Smelling.
We are not just talking about reality so that we are sure about there must be two. In brief.
So going back to John, I'll stop hearing.
He repeat my question. So what about Kunjata's question?
It's rupa.
What is rupa?
Something can be heard, but cannot hear. It's rupa.
What is rupa? I didn't ask about what is sound.
Sound?
I just asked about rupa, not sound.
Rupa cannot experience.
And what about hearing?
Hearing is experience.
So what Pali term for hearing, when it can experience?
Can you repeat?
There are two, nama and rupa, see?
Yep.
And rupa cannot experience no matter what. And that which experience no matter what is nama. Include many kinds of nama, that anything, any moment of experiencing, it is nama. So again, is sound, can sound experience?
No.
What word we use for that which cannot experience?
We hear the sound experience.
Listen, see. What word we use to
for
call
sound.
That which cannot experience?
Rupa.
Rupa, see. And can heard, can sound appear without hearing?
self-spirit
can.
Yes. Yes.
See, the question is whether can sound be heard without hearing?
Without hearing? No.
That's why I listen carefully.
Because sorry.
The word is very deep. No sound. When we talk about hearing, we do not talk about I hear. We just talk about that which arises to hear. Before hearing, can there be the appearance of sound before hearing?
For hearing?
Can sound appear?
No.
Is there a condition for sound to arise?
Hearing.
When there are conditions only. Even sound cannot arise without condition. Even sound. Whatever arises must be conditioned. What is the condition for hearing to arise?
The condition for
hearing.
Hearing.
Arise. We are now here. What are conditions for hearing to arise?
Citta.
Citta is hearing itself. The hearing is citta. The hearing is that which experiences. We haven't come to the word citta yet. Okay. But you know that word. But when we talk about hearing, see, we don't talk about
the condition.
We don't use the word citta. Why? Because even hearing is not known. You just have heard about the term all day, but not about just the exact moment of reality which hears. No world, only hearing and sound. But what conditions hearing?
Yeah, the sound.
Sound.
Yes.
And what else?
Yes.
Yeah. Even this cannot be known if we don't talk about, see, we think of the conventional concept all day. Never think about reality. That's why it's so very, very difficult to understand the truth of each moment. We have to have it as upa nisya kojara, the habits, to know the value of understanding. And then it will condition more, and we will see the value better and better, by understanding better and better.
Yes.
So it's not difficult when there is understanding. But if you go out, you ask anyone about seeing, hearing, smelling, they don't know. They say, I see, I hear, I think. This is the difference between that which conditions attachment for oneself. But the words of the Buddha, each word brings about understanding, which will lead to detachment from taking it as I or self anymore, until moment of enlightenment, the truth, which is exactly as what you have heard now.
So just to double check, hearing is what kind of Dhamma?
Hearing is I just remember. No, I just forgot the word. It's Dhamma. Is it right?
So for hearing, it's clear then. The sound is what kind of Dhamma?
The sound is rupa.
Rupa. And ear sense is also rupa. But the hearing is
rupa and
nama.
I almost forgot nama.
Nama. And so without sound and without ear sense, there's no hearing, which is nama. So seeing, hearing, smelling. What is smell?
Smell?
Yeah, what is the object of smelling? What is smell?
Smell is the object?
the object, what is smelt.
It's rupa.
Rupa, just the odor that is smelt, the smell that is smelt.
Yes, smell is smelt, it's rupa.
And the smelling itself?
Smelling is nama.
Right. Is there any eye that can smell? Can you smell or can Sun smell? Can anyone smell?
No.
Sun. No.
No.
Only smelling can smell.
Yes.
And in order for there to be smelling, there must be the smell and there must be the nose sense.
Yes.
Yes. So hearing, smell, seeing, hearing, smelling. What about tasting? What is tasted?
Tasting is nama.
Nama.
Yes.
And what does tasting taste?
Rupa.
Rupa.
Yeah.
And what is that rupa? Is delicious food tasted or what is tasted?
Like the cake.
Is cake rupa?
Yeah. No. The taste of the cake.
The taste.
Is
the taste,
rupa.
The flavor.
Yeah. Yeah,
is rupa.
Yeah.
But cake is not rupa.
Yeah.
Cake, so just the flavor, just the taste is the rupa.
Yes.
And what is the cake?
The cake is...
Is it a just reality? Just cake,
yeah. It's an object.
Is it a reality?
No, it's not reality.
It's a concept,
It's
right?
the concept.
Okay. And so what are the conditions for tasting?
Tasting, we need to have a taste.
Taste.
And my tongue.
Tongue sense, yes, for there to be tasting. Okay. So just nama and rupas.
Yeah, nama and rupa.
Okay. So we have seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching.
Yeah.
What is experienced by touching?
It's hard.
Hard, yes.
It's soft.
Soft.
Smoothly.
Okay,
yeah.
So tangible object, yes. Hard or soft, yes. And what else? Are you telling the answer?
Is it hot, cold?
She said smooth.
It's feeling, yeah, hot, cold.
Hot, cold, yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Or movement, motion.
Motion, yeah.
Are these objects that are touched, the heat, the cold, the softness, the hardness, are they nama or rupa or concept?
The object is just a concept.
Really? What about the hardness? Is it hardness?
Hardness is the rupa.
Is the rupa. What about the heat?
Heat. The heat.
Hot or cold?
Is temperature?
Is it reality or concept?
It's reality.
Reality. What kind of reality?
It's rupa.
Rupa. And how about the touching?
Touching is nama.
Nama.
Yeah.
And what are the conditions for touching?
We need to have something. For example, it's hard. It's the condition.
So the object of touching, the tangible object.
And my hand, feeling. Yeah.
Body sense.
Yeah, body sense.
Body sense. Because it can be anywhere. The body sense is anywhere. Other conditions. And touching, is it nama or rupa? Nama? How about the hardness? Nama or rupa?
It's rupa.
What? Rupa. Yeah, rupa. Okay. Because it doesn't experience anything. The hardness is rupa. The hardness is rupa because it doesn't experience. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the touching is nama.
Yes.
Why is the touching nama?
Body sense,
Experiences. That's body why sense, it's nama. Yes. But the hardness doesn't experience.
Yes.
So it's rupa.
Yes.
When there's ignorance, everything is something all the time. Right? When there's no understanding of the absolute truth. For example, I see a cup. What is convention and what is absolute truth? Yes, I see a cup, everyone. So, what is concept and what is reality? Cup is what? It's concept. See, but heart is here. It's not concept. It's directly experienced. So it's rupa, which is experience. Not the cup is experience. But without understanding what that is heart, it's not a cup or anything. It's just hardness. It arises to be hard, that's all. But when there's no when there is no understanding, I see convention all day. A cup, a thing, a person. And when there's the idea of cup without understanding, you like it? That is upadana, clinging. Because without ignorance, there cannot be clinging. But when there is ignorance, there is clinging. Ignorance that it's just something that you like, the color or the shape, and any moment when there is clinging to anything, that is upadana. So one cling to khanda, because without khanda there is nothing. Only khanda arises and falls away, no matter it's nama khanda or rupa khanda. That which is conditioned to arise, as soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. That is the meaning of khanda. So khanda is dhamma. When it is the rupa that clinging clings to, it is rupa khanda, upadana. There are three words now, khanda, rupa, and upadana. And from these three words, it becomes the term in Pali, upadana khanda. Upadana khanda. But khanda is whatever is real, and upadana is only clinging. It's not ignorance. It's another cetasika. So when we talk about nama, there are two kinds of that which can experience the object. One is the faculty, just experience. But it cannot arise without cetasika. Without cetasika in Pali term and English, it's mental factors. In Thai or Vietnamese, it depends. So citta cannot arise alone. It has to arise with other kind of nama, which is not the faculty of experiencing, because some nama likes, some nama dislike, some nama understand, and some nama cannot understand. So that which is not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching in a day, and thinking, there must be upadana, without understanding the khanda. So when we talk about dhamma, includes everything. When we talk about nama and rupa, we can add the word dhamma for rupa dhamma and nama khanda, because all are dhamma. We can just say nama or rupa, but actually it has to be nama rupa, nama khanda, nama dhamma. See, nama dhamma, rupa dhamma. We can just simply say nama rupa, but it means nama. It means dhamma. Everything must be dhamma, no matter we talk about it or not. So clinging, is it dhamma? Clinging, upadana, it's dhamma. What kind of dhamma is it? Clinging, like. What kind of dhamma? Nama dhamma. Nama dhamma. But it is not seeing. Seeing just see. It cannot like or dislike. So there are two kinds of nama. One is citta, that which experiences, the faculty of just experiences. It is not wholesome or unwholesome by itself, but by cetasikas which arises with it. It changes from just being this one to another one to another one to another one. So there are altogether 89 kinds of citta because of the 52 kinds of cetasika. So whenever the namatam arises, there must be two kinds, citta and cetasika, arise together. That's why when I ask what condition, it is citta, condition cetasika, and cetasika, condition citta. For example, panya is cetasika. What are conditions for panya? See, one forget that which experience as the main factor for panya, because panya cannot arise without citta. Citta experiences nibbana, and all cetasikas are lokutra, not ordinary, like usual. So we just begin to talk, just to understand clearly before we can talk about sangyojana or tadu or anything else, because we just begin to understand more and more and better to understand that there is actually no self, no one at all. But it has to begin from the firm confidence. Otherwise we go astray. We fall from the past because we don't know how to understand reality. We just want to make it this way or that way, try to have the other way, which is impossible because no matter who tell anyone to do so, he's not the Buddha. It's not the word of the Buddha. So now there are Dhamma and Rupa Dhamma, Nama Dhamma, and for Nama Dhamma, Citta and Cetasika. From 1 to 2 to 3, Citta, Cetasika, Rupa. We don't talk about Nibbana, but it is also the absolute reality. So altogether there are four absolute realities, Citta, Cetasika, Rupa, and Nibbana. But if there is no understanding of citta right now, no one can understand Nibbana at all. Because it's not citta, not cetasika, not rupa, and it's not conditioned. So now, everything which arises can be object of experiencing with ignorance and attachment, which is upadana. So that one which is object of clinging is upadana khanda, because it's the object of clinging. So can panya be object of clinging? Can panya, right understanding is another word for panya. In Pali it is panya, in English it is right understanding. So can right understanding be object of panya, of clinging?
Understanding? So Ajahn asks whether panya or understanding can be object of clinging. Clinging or attachment, wanting to have it.
Attachment.
We talk about upadana khanda. We are talking about khanda, right? What is khanda again? New word, so it might take time. What is khanda? You know the term dhamma, nama dhamma, rupa dhamma, and now khanda. What is khanda? That which arises and falls away. In Pali, it is khanda. That which arises and falls away must be dhamma. And that which arises now and falls away now can be the object of clinging. But let's talk just one word, khanda now. Just khanda. Is it Dhamma? What kind of Dhamma is it? What kind of Dhamma is that? Dhamma first, and then what, from 1 to 2, Rupakanda and Namakanda, right? So what is Rupa Dhamma and Nama Dhamma? Now we come to another word, Kanda. That which arises and falls away. Is it a reality? Is it real? That which arises and falls away. Is it real? It arises, so it's real. So it's rupa, that which cannot experience. But anything, no matter nama or rupa, whatever arises and falls away, another word is kanda in Pali. So is rupa kanda? Is nama kanda? Is seeing kanda? Is hearing Dhamma kanda? So now all Dhammas which arise are kanda, that's all. Just add some more to think about it. It's not just Dhamma, it has to arise and falls away. And that which arises and falls away are kanda. Is Nibbana kanda? So Nibbana is not kanda. In Pali it's kanta vimutta, but don't mind that, you can find it in the book. But the difference between all dhammas must be that which arises and that which does not arise. So from now on, when you hear the word that which does not arise, but it's real, is Nibbana only. While no matter what arises and falls away, it's Dhamma, which arises and falls away, so it's Kanda. So Dhamma can be divided into Rupa Kanda and Nama Kanda, the same as Rupa Dhamma and Rupa Kanda. Nama Kanda, Nama Kanda, and Nama Dhamma. Exactly. No confusion. All Dhammas which arise are Kanda. So Rupa Dhamma is Rupa Kanda, and Nama Dhamma is Nama Kanda. Just change the word to add more understanding that that which is Dhamma, which arises, is Kanda. So, is seeing Kanda? What kind of Kanda? Nama Kanda? Is it Dhamma? What kind of Dhamma? Nama Dhamma. Exactly the same. And hearing. What kind of Dhamma? What kind of Kanda? Nama Kanda. Easy? To hear and to think over and over again. So as soon as you hear the word Dhamma, you know everything. When you hear the word Rupa Dhamma, you know. And when you hear the word Rupa Kanda, exactly the same. So how many kinds of Kanda?
Her original question at the beginning was pancha. Pancha is five. So actually one rupa kanda and four nama kanda.
Time by yourself. But when you hear many, many times until it's really established, it's well established, then you understand instantly. When we talk about nama kanda or rupa kanda, it's seeing kanda. What kind? Nama kanda. It is object of clinging, so it is upatana kanda. So all nama and kandas which arise is the object of clinging. So they are what? Upadana, clinging its upadana, upadana khanda.
Do you have upadana khanda?
Yes.
Yes. Who doesn't have upadana khanda?
So everyone has said that seeing is Namadhamma, and seeing is Namakanda, and seeing can be the object of clinging. So it's when it is the object of clinging, it's Upadana Kanda. How about hearing? Hearing, can it be Upadana Kanda? Yes, so when there's clinging to hearing, it's Upadana Kanda. Upadana, and it's Nama Kanda. It's Nama, right? So Upadana Kanda. So what about understanding, Panya? It's understanding Nama or Rupa? Nama. And is Panya a Kanda? Does it arise and fall away? Yeah, you see. Okay. Panya, does it arise and fall away?
Yes, sir.
So it's Kanda. Right, so it's Nama Kanda. Can Panya be the object of clinging?
Yes.
Yes. So when there is clinging to understanding, then it's Upadana Kanda, right?
Yes.
How about Sati, awareness? Sati is Nama or Rupa?
Nama.
Nama. And can Sati be the object of clinging?
Yes.
And then it's
Upadana
Kanda. And you said before that for all of us there's a lot of clinging in the day. Who has no more clinging in the day? The Arahat, because clinging has been eradicated. What about the Rupa of the Arahat, for example, the sound of the Arahat's voice or the hardness of the Arahat's body? Can it be the object of clinging?
Yes, I'd say of clinging, but of others.
For others, so
for
even that sound of the voice or the hardness can be, is Rupa Kanda and can be Upadana Kanda. For example, if we heard the Buddha's voice, I'm sure immediately there will be some clinging to the sound and then it would be Upadana Kanda. So any reality that arises and falls away can be clinging, and when it is clinging, it's Upadana Kanda. So in short, we can say there are namas and rupas, nama kandas and rupa kanda. So any rupa is rupa kanda, and how many nama kandas are there?
Four.
So we can say in short that any reality which experiences any nama is nama kanda. But if we want to go into more detail, we can talk about different kinds of namas.
Is there any nama kanda that cannot be object of clinging?
Repeat it, please.
Is there any nama kanda or nama dhamma that cannot be object of clinging?
Nibbana.
Nibbana is not a kanda because it doesn't arise and fall away.
You asked that, is there any kanda?
Yes, nama kanda.
Nama kanda cannot.
That cannot be the object of clinging.
Object of clinging. I don't think. No, nothing.
How about the
Lukuttara Citta.
Lukuttara Citta. Yeah, cannot be object of clinging. How many Lukuttara Cittas are there?
How many states of enlightenment? Four stages of enlightenment. I think A.
But this is
no longer the basics.
What is clinging?
Firstly, I am very new here. I haven't been aware of any terminologies that you guys have been talking about.
What about Dhamma? What is that?
From a very outsider, I think Dhamma is the philosophy
that is thinking about it. But the absolute reality, what is there now, is real, right? We don't have to think about philosophy.
Yes.
But what is now appear is real.
You are talking about
like seeing, is it real?
Seeing is real.
Hearing
is also real.
Whisper object.
If I see the cake, it means that
not I see. I just talk about that which is seen. Is it real now? Is there anything which is seen?
Yes.
It's real.
Yes.
It's different from seeing.
It's different from seeing?
Seeing, experience, that which is seen only. It cannot experience hardness. It cannot experience sound. It can experience just that only, which can be seen right now. We just talk about the moment, this moment. Is this moment real?
Yes.
Okay, what is there?
Like, the moment I'm talking to you is very real.
That is thinking about the moment I'm talking to you.
Yes.
That is concept, thinking about the story of that which seen. But we talk about just one reality at a time in order to really understand what is real. And that reality is what? For example, now, there is seeing, real, right? And there is that which is seen, real or not real?
It's real.
Real. Are they different? No philosophy.
Yes. Okay. Can I share something in my mind first?
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Just seeing now, because they're seeing. There must be the truth of seeing that no one knows at all before the enlightenment of the Buddha. So now we are talking about the absolute truth, which is enlightened by the Buddha himself. Out of his great compassion, he knows that no one can know. So he taught for 45 years, how many words? But we have to begin with just one word at a time, because we cannot compare our understanding to the Buddha at all. So each of his words, it cannot just hear and think, but it's something to think about. The absolute truth never changed, never changed. So now that is seeing. Is it real?
Seeing is real.
Is there anything which seeing sees?
Yes.
Is it real too?
It's real.
Is that which is seen different from seeing?
I repeat your question. Is that seeing different from seeing?
It
is the seeing different from that which is seen? Because you said both are real. Seeing is real. That which is seen is real. So are they the same reality or different realities?
I think reality just there. One reality.
Consider and hear and answer what is true.
Reality is true.
Okay.
And there is only one reality.
Or many?
I think there is.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Nice, you're thinking.
Reality is, there is only one reality at one moment.
At a time?
Yes, at a time.
What about many times different?
Many times different.
So there are different realities?
Yes, depending from what we understand from the reality.
Not from anyone's understanding, but the truth of it.
Maybe that changed. Not the same. Oh, okay.
Just one moment. We talk about just one reality. Mm. For example, at moment of seeing, there is not just seeing alone. There must be that which is seen, which seeing sees, right? that which seeing sees, is it? Can it see?
I think...
Okay.
No.
No. That is the difference between seeing and that which is seen by seeing.
Yes.
Okay. That which sees can see what is there. What is there now, here?
See? Yes.
And that which is seen cannot know anything at all.
Really?
Yeah, can it know? Can it know anything? This is seen? Can this know that somebody touched it?
No.
No. So there are two kinds of reality, or that word in Pali is Dhamma. Whatever is real is Dhamma. We talk about just reality that we haven't known before. In just begin to understand the absolute truth, but actually there's no I think, I see, I hear, because they are different realities. Not self. Not self. It cannot belong to you because it's conditioned to arise and then falls away. In split seconds, instantly. So where's you? It's the succession of that which arises by conditions from moment to moment to moment. Not only this life, the other life and the future life. No one can make it arise. No one can make it fall away. So we are talking about the absolute truth of what appears in every moment that we take for I and self and people and things.
For I, for self, for people and yes, things.
It's you, it's me, it's cup, it's table. But actually, that we've seen, it's seen only. Yes or no?
No.
Why not?
Maybe I'm right or I'm wrong, but the action of seeing and the thing that is being seen is different.
Right.
Right. So it's like the cup cannot be seen as a cup. The cup cannot see itself as the cup, but I think itself as the nice cup.
So the cup is not you?
No.
The cup is cup.
Yes.
It cannot see you.
Yeah. And it cannot see itself too.
It cannot experience anything at all.
Yes.
And there are two. So there are two kinds of realities.
Yes.
One kind is that which cannot experience, cannot know anything at all. Like hardness, you touch it. It doesn't know that somebody touched. See? And that which touch knows that it's hard. That which is touched is hard, touch it.
Mm.
So touching is not that which is touched. So there must be two together. That which experience and that which is experienced. It's impossible to just say, I experience, but nothing is experienced, right? So there are two kinds of realities. One cannot experience anything at all, no matter what you call it in English, in Thai. But in Pali, it is rupa. Rupa. And its dhamma is real. So it is rupa dhamma.
So it's the reality that cannot be experienced.
Pardon?
Rupa dhamma is the reality that cannot be experienced.
Right. Cannot experience.
Cannot
but it
experience.
Can be experienced.
Yes.
Yeah. It cannot know anything at all. We are talking about it.
Yes.
So there are two kinds from all dhammas. Some can experience and some cannot experience anything. Okay. Would you like to know Pali term? Just like you learn other language, just one word at a time?
I observe the conversation of this lady about rupa and nama.
So what is rupa?
As far as my understandings, rupa is the thing that cannot experience.
Right.
And nama is the opposite.
Can we say rupa dhamma?
Can.
Yes. Why?
Because it's the reality.
Because it's dhamma. Good. Yeah. And a kind? Another kind?
Another kind is nama.
Okay. What is it?
Nama is the opposite to rupa. which is to be able to experience.
Whenever it arises, it has to experience.
What is the meaning of the arising?
From nothing
to something.
To something, and then nothing again.
Ah, okay. Excuse me.
You get a photo?
Mm-hmm.
Clear?
Quite clear.
Quite clear. And for Nama, there are two different kinds. One is that faculty of experiencing. Just see. No idea. No feeling. Just that which experiences. That is the function of citta. We can call it citta.
Now it turns to be complicated.
That's it. That's why we learn from one word to another word to another word to another word. We cannot take away the idea of self suddenly, instantly, by there is nothing but that which arises and falls away. That's not enough. That's why we need more.
Respectedly studies.
Mm-hmm. So now, citta, that which is the faculty, the chief of experiencing, it does not like, it does not dislike, it's not kind,
it just is
not cruel, it's just it, which experience, the chief, because it needs other kind of nama, dhamma to be conditioned for its arising. Nothing can arise by itself at all. Like seeing cannot arise without the eye, bears, the sound. So everything we don't know, we just experience, but so many things as condition for its arising, each thing, each reality. So now we talk about two kinds of the arising nama, arising and falling away nama, dhamma. One is that citta, and the other like, generosity. It's not citta, but it's real, to be kind.
So you're dividing the terms into two categories. The first is citta, which is
that which sees, hears.
Yeah, just the fact of that object. Yes. And the other one is the
Adhanama.
Kite.
Adhanama.
Adhanama.
Like, it doesn't have shape and form to be heard, to touch, to be touched. So it's nama, completely out of.
So can I link it to a very real experience? It's like if a person is the bad person.
If there is no reality, can there be anyone? So we talk about the absolute truth of what we take for people and thing or whatever must be reality itself.
Yes.
But there are many, several realities in a moment, unknown. That's why there must be the idea of it's permanent, it's me. It's I who see, who hear, who think all the time. But actually all are Dhamma, different Dhamma. One can experience and the other cannot experience any object. Citta is that which is the chief or the head or the faculty of experience only. It cannot like, it cannot dislike. So sometimes in the Tipitaka it says that citta is pure, it's unpure, impure when there are other nama arising with it. Because citta cannot arise without conditions. And what is conditions for citta to arise? The other kind of nama, cetasika, that which arises with citta at the same moment, falls away at the same moment, experience the same object.
It's like the sunlight and it's the sun.
Yeah.
It's like the sun is the citta.
Because that's one's own idea before about sun and sunrise and. But now we are talking about quite new world, about the absolute truth of world, a world at a time. Because if nothing arises, there's no world at all. But even there is still something which cannot experience arise, mountain, sea. It cannot appear if there is no that
condition.
Experience it. That's why the rupa cannot appear without the experiencing of citta. Nothing can appear if there is no citta arising to experience it. From birth up to death, non-stop, now. No one knows. It's hidden, like under the depth of the sea, until the light of the Buddha's word can bring about some little understanding from the very beginning, until so clear as what one has heard before, from the very beginning about the characteristic of Dhamma, anatta, is another word, uncontrollable. It does not belong to anyone at all, because it's conditioned by its proper conditions. Like seeing has to have eyes as its condition, so, and visible object as its condition. So no one there. So now we come to one word, Dhamma, and then two words. Nama. Can we add the word Dhamma?
Can.
Nama Dhamma, Rupa Dhamma. And now three words. Citta, Cetasika, and Rupa.
Citta, Cetasika,
and Rupa.
And Rupa.
You know Rupa, right? And Citta and Cetasika are Nama, not Rupa.
It's two kinds of Nama.
That's it. So from one Dhamma into Nama and Rupa. And now two kinds of Nama.
Hierarchy.
Citta and Cetasika, and four, Nibbana. These are the absolute truth, absolute realities. It boils down to just this. Citta, now. No one citta arises and sees. No one hearing arises and hears right now. The absolute truth. As soon as it performs the function of hearing, both fall away instantly, no more. From nothing to something, and then nothing again, this is life. From moment of death, from moment of birth to death.
Okay. It's a very nice verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Light world, not dark world. But not as light as we are now. Because now it's dark, even there's light. Without understanding, it's dark. And who brings the light? The Buddha, the enlightenment. So we can understand by oneself the word we hear, whether it's right or wrong. If we don't have understanding of the teachings just one word at a time, anyone say about Kanda and Dadu and all, no understanding, but just follow without one's own understanding. And that is useless, because it's the other understanding. But your best friend in life is the one who can help you to understand, to have your own understanding, not to follow that.
So who is your best friend in life?
The Buddha said he is the best of all friends. Is it right? Because before hearing this, no idea about what's on each moment.
Can I have a question?
Yes.
Is reality important?
What is not? What is important?
Because...
Answer me, please.
Important is the thing...
I mean, you ask me whether reality is important, and I ask, what is important? Pardon?
What do you mean by important?
I just, what is important?
Yeah, I got the question. I just want to translate my Czech answer into something easily to describe. Important, being important.
Being is important, right?
Yes.
Being is important.
Yes, like
but
living.
But it has gone. Where's the importance? Completely, never to return
each moment. Is that important?
It's important.
Why? It's gone. So where is its importance? Important to nothing. You think that nothing is important?
To some extent.
But what's the truth? The absolute truth for everyone, not just for you or me or who. Seeing arises and falls away. Is it important? Until one sees that it's not as important as one is, they will have the less and less clinging to it, less and less suffering from taking for real or permanent on me or myself. This is the way to relieve all kind of suffering, mental suffering, bodily suffering, every suffering. But if there is no knowing the origination of it, then there is clinging to that which appears and disappears unknowingly. Before it arises, do you cling to that which hasn't arisen yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. But when something arises, it's clinging to that object, not knowing that it's gone. So it's the fool or the wise who cling.
Yes.
See? So what's the most important things in one's life? The most precious moment?
It's a very hard question.
I think understanding the truth is the best thing in one's life. Nothing can compare to it, wealth or whatever.
But even if you know the truth very well, can you suffer from the truth?
No, you know me. It depends on the degree of understanding.
We don't suffer because of the truth or from the truth, right?
At moment of understanding is so different from not understanding it. It brings joy and wonderful moments. Not as blind as before. Just be born. All life full of pleasantness or unpleasantness, suffering and pleasant moment, that's gone. All gone. And then forget completely. Like last life.
I think yes.
What it
is to get ourselves to
as long as you take things reality for self, is it right or wrong?
Yeah, that's the point.
Right or wrong?
It's the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. So now we know what's right and what's wrong. That's the best thing. Otherwise, one might take the wrong for the right.
And you asked about suffering, and you said, understanding the truth, can there still be suffering? Is there any end to suffering?
Until we want. Until we want to end it, right.
You mean suffering can be ended by wanting to end it?
The attitude to...
A change in attitude come about?
When we realize that it's wrong to attach ourselves with the reality, is the moment to end the suffering, I think. It is true.
Can there be the ending of attachment to reality just by wanting to have an end to the attachment?
No, it's not that easy.
So what is the way?
I don't know yet.
I think that's what we're talking about. Understanding realities as they are is the way to end attachment to realities, because we take them to be something that they are not.
So there's no citta at all?
Citta all the time. But at the moment there is no understanding of realities as they are. We think they are worth clinging to, worth having. We want more. We want more life, more seeing, more hearing. But we don't see those realities as just momentary dhammas.
We don't see reality as the moment...
As momentary...
Momentary dhammas.
Dhammas. We think they are worth clinging to. So seeing them as they are, seeing realities as they are, so, is the way to have less clinging to them.
I asked that question because previously you mentioned about the word ignorance, like or dislike or ignorance, right? That's why if the purpose of understanding the truth of reality is to get less attachment or clinging to the object, to the momentary dhammas, so either the ignorance is the highest level of an attachment.
No, ignorance.
Maybe I understand different from you now, right?
So it's actually the opposite of what we think. So at the very beginning, when you started asking questions and discussing with Ajahn, and she was asking about realities, about what is seen now, what is the reality of it seeing, and you wanted to say, oh, I just want to talk about a situation or a story, because for you, this is, doesn't seem to be reality, but the situation or the story or the real life scenario seems to be the reality. But actually, it's the opposite. Our story, our situation is the dream of ignorance. And the reality now, what is seen, just that which is seen, and the seeing now is the reality. So actually we're living in a dream world most of the time, taking our stories about people and cups and tables and cups for being real, not realizing actually it's just a dream world, a fantasy world. And the reality of life is actually what Ajahn has been discussing with you, these different namas and rupas, the different realities which arise and fall away at this very moment and are not worth clinging to at all because they've gone as soon as they've arisen. So actually the only way to clear away the fog of ignorance and clear away all the clinging throughout the day, which leads to more and more suffering, is the understanding of reality at this very moment. And that's why whenever you started to say, oh, can I tell you about this or the bad person, or she said, no, what about reality right now? So this is why it's so important to study reality, because it's the only way that the fog of ignorance can be seen through. And that's why she stressed that the most important thing in life is the understanding at this very moment, because only understanding can know the truth, and it has to be the understanding of these different nama dhammas and rupa dhammas, which are anatta, not self. And that's why this morning, the whole morning, she's been talking about those realities that can experience an object and those realities that cannot experience anything, because without this clear understanding of the distinction between namas and rupas, it's impossible to understand that in truth there is no I that can experience, no I that has good friends and bad friends, no I that can hear or touch. The more we consider and understand about realities, the more understanding the truth of life there is, and gradually, very gradually, the less ignorance there is, as usual, the opposite of what we're used to thinking on our own.
Thank you.
Is it interesting?
Yes, it's interesting. Yes, sure.